All right, time now to look through the window of baseball. We do with Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle. And it's Marvin Windows and Doors and Trude and White, the professional builder's choice. And Bruce, I woke up this morning. You know, I get up and I knew I was starting at 10 o'clock today, so I get up a little bit later. And of course, you go to Twitter or wherever you get your news first before picking up The Chronicle, which I do have delivered. And there was the news about Jose Fernandez, just stunning for me today. And how about you?
Oh, it's very, very difficult. And the response from around baseball really illustrates what a special man this was. I mean, first of all, possibly the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, certainly right there with Bumgarner and Kershaw and Arrieta and all these guys. And absolutely electric presence on the mound, but he had so much fun playing the game, and he was the antithesis of these guys who try to police the game. Of course, you know, Bumgarner is right in the center of that, but you know, he's a guy who would rather just crack a smile if he gets lit up or if he hits one out. Either way it went, he'd rather just see, you know, a couple glances and I got you that time, I'll get you the next time. It's just a game, you know, it's not warfare. And Lord knows he'd been through so much. I mean, he and his mother and stepsister had three unsuccessful attempts at defect. After one of them, he's thrown in jail for 2 months in Cuba. He's just a kid. Mm. On another one, there were shots fired at them, you know, as they tried to defect. On another trip, someone fell overboard, you know, in the middle of this trip, and Fernandez was a good swimmer and trusted his swimming ability and jumped off to save the person. It was his mother.
Mm.
So, I mean, and he gets to America knowing nothing, but just feeling that great sense of freedom, immediately set out to learn English properly, and he, of course, spoke it very, very well. Didn't need any hints or didn't try to hide behind it or get away with it, not speaking it as long as he could, and just full of energy and life and fun, tears all around baseball. It's just an inconceivable loss.
Boy, it is, and there's so many angles to it, and I don't know if you saw the press conference today, but, you know, we've watched baseball for a long time. I don't know if there's been a more emotional press conference than what I saw today. Did you have to see it on MLB?
I did not see that. I've been on the Internet and looking a little football this morning. I hope to see clips of it. I'm sure I will.
Yeah, Mattingly just broke down. I mean, it was
He was a guy who really touched your heart with his joy for the game and knowing what he'd come from and all that he'd gone through and all the gratitude he showed. And he was just out to have a really good time and display his talent like the great entertainers do.
Wow. And I don't know if you heard John Stanley this morning, but we segued into the entertainment field of some of the great Hollywood icons of comedy, just to change the mood a little bit, and of course their connection to baseball. Bruce, did you ever go to the old ballparks down in Los Angeles, Wrigley Field or Gilmore Field or any of that? Did you ever do that?
You know, it's funny. My dad was such a big sports fan, having lived in New York and then moved out to L.A. around the late 30s. And he was right there. I was really young, though. I wasn't quite, you know, I was 10 years old when the Dodgers moved west. That's a time when you really, you know, you can certainly go out there before that. But my dad never took me to Gilmore Field or Wrigley Field. And I was so young, I didn't ask why. I wasn't really, you know, really aware of what was going on there. Who knew from baseball, professional baseball? But no, unfortunately, no.
Yeah, well, you know John Stanley quite well, of course, from the Chronicle. The book, you know, the book, The Funniest Comedy Icons of the 20th Century, and Bob Hope and, you know, Bing Crosby are involved in that, and you know, William Frawley, you know, from the used to be out there, and Bob Cobb, and you know, really they love being out there, Joey Brown and all that stuff. So it was a good part of baseball history. I like it. All right, let's talk about this team. You know, 7 to go here. The Mets are down 10-0 last night. They make it 10-8. The Cardinals beat the Cubs. The Cardinals now in the night game tonight. The Mets are up 1-0 on the Phillies here in the middle of the fourth, and it's in the hands of Ty Block today against the Chihuahuas. How about that? Did you see this one coming?
No, I don't think anyone did. I like the call for Block. I mean, you know, everybody knows that Kane and Peavy are great competitors and this and that, but they've not been there so many times this season. The times when the team needed them, they haven't given them good outings. And Block looked pretty good, and you know, they're still looking for a little more spark. I mean, one night doesn't turn you around necessarily. Maybe the hitting is going to continue through the rest of the way. You never know. But for a kid like Block to come out and pitch a great game today, I think would be another huge boost to a team that really needs it.
Yeah, and this is, you know, we love this part of baseball. Look, there's only 7 games to go. And, you know, something hit me last night when we were talking about the Mets. And, of course, the Mets go into Miami tomorrow, and that is going to be a very emotional scene. Jose was supposed to pitch that game tomorrow night. They skipped him today. Adam Conley was supposed to go today and Jose tomorrow. So the Mets go in there. But something was said last night, and it said, well, Colon and Syndergaard are going to pitch 4 of the last 6. I guess Gesselman gets today, so there'll be 6 more after today. And it sort of hit me, hey, there's only 6 to go, and you've got 4 starts with your guys. And I think the Giants kind of are in a little better position because other than maybe slotting Suarez in there if you need him, they've got a big pitcher coming just about every day the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's interesting with the Giants if you look forward to a potential tie in the wild card, which, of course, is perfectly feasible.
Yeah,
you know, the Cueto thing leaves it somewhat in doubt as to who'd pitch that game because you're going to want, you know, Bumgarner for the wild card game itself, probably. And it might wind up being Samardzija on Monday if a game is needed on Monday. And, you know, it sounds pretty good the way he's been pitching. But, I think the Mets should just pitch Colon all the games the rest of the way. I think he'd be perfectly ready for it.
Boy, it's, you know, because you got Matt Moore, Samardzija, then you got Suarez on Thursday. But who knows if you need Cueto, you could put him in there on Thursday, or you could wait for the Dodger series if you think you're going to need him. And, you know, this thing has a million ways to look at it. Andy Bagley wrote something, I don't know if you saw it last night, of all the scenarios of how you can do the rotation. You actually need an abacus to sit down and try to figure out what they can do. But it's the Rockies come in with Marquez and Chatwood, who always gives the Giants some trouble. And this John Gray, who struck out 16 in a couple of starts ago. So it's going to be quite a week of baseball, even before the Dodgers get here.
Yeah, I mean, every time somebody says, well, that's going to be an easy series, there's no such thing. I mean, the Mets got swept by the Braves. They lose to the Phillies. You know, the Giants can't beat San Diego until last night. The Rockies are going to be a load. Everybody's a load. I mean, you get all these new faces, you know, Renfro and Dahl, you know, kids, Dansby Swanson. And these are great players. These are guys just showing up now, and they're livening up these downtrodden teams. So, I mean, to think that anything's going to be easy is a little misguided.
Yeah, not at all. Tomlinson last night. And, Bruce, I have a lot of confidence in this guy. It's just the way he handles the bat. It's the short swing.
Yeah.
You know, this little Asuaje. This is Gregor Blanco Jr. This guy thinks he's going to be the next, the next Mike Trout or Mickey Mantle, the way he swings. And then you see Tomlinson, who just says, all right, let me see where the ball is, and I'm going to just rip it through the infield. I love the kid. I like the way he swings the bat in a team that has trouble getting good swings on a ball.
Really, really like him. I mean, in the better times, the Giants do that a lot. You see it from Posey and, you know, when they had Duffy, obviously, in Panic. And, a lot of guys going the other way. And, you know, Tomlinson, he's hitting about 290, something like that. Through all the ups and downs and not being able to play, the guy's average is always there because his swing is just so tight. And he's completely calm in a crisis for everything we've seen. I mean, he shortens up and rips that ball to right, just exactly what they needed. What a great addition. What a great baseball thing to look at that guy and to think that he's, you know, a really professional hitter.
And he's got the glasses. He looks like, you know, the big-time nerd. And
yeah.
And honestly, and nothing, he doesn't say much. You know, it's why we love baseball. You know, he's a kid, you know, he's sort of like the Midwest kind of kid, you know, the Oklahoma kind of kid who doesn't say much, but somehow learned how to play the game from Kansas, wherever he's from. And 10 for 23 with runners in scoring position. How about that?
Yeah, I hope he's in there again to do something today and San Diego. You got all the Padres, you know, the shrimp salad with a side of a suave dressing or whatever they got.
It's the Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
And they have the perfect uniform for it. They look like Chihuahuas out there.
They do. They're a salad dressing all their own.
Well, what? And I'll tell you, Pagan, you know, just before we go here, the base running of Pagan and with Roberto Kelly at third, I don't know what's going on. At this level. You know, here's Tomlinson. He hits the ball to the right side. Once the ball hits the grass, once you see it's a ground ball, if you're on second, you're gone. Mm-hmm. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
To see if it goes through, unless he thought it was going to be a line drive to the second baseman, which it didn't exactly look like. So then he gets the third and stops, and then they send him in, and then the Renfro. That's the other thing about the Padres. They may have guys who come up and they swing the bat, and they had all these credentials in the PCL, but they don't play big league defense yet. And the defense got them last night.
Yeah, they've come up way short there, and yeah, with Pagan and Kelly, I mean, there's two guys whose judgment, you know, comes into question a little too often. I think for Pagan, you know, more in the outfield, but with Tim Flannery, you had a guy who I think scoped out every possible situation in his head,
mm-hmm.
and he knew exactly how to react when that one thing came up. He knew about all the arms. And basically everything there is to know there, which is a lot to ask of anyone, but Flannery was the best. And we've seen many times where Kelly's instincts are not good, and he'll second-guess himself right in the middle of something, send a guy or hold a guy when it seems, you know, like not the thing to do. So that's been a tough thing to ride out. I think nobody would be more relieved to see the Giants get to the postseason than Kelly.
Well, that's for sure. All right. Well, I know you've got a busy day today, and, of course, it is a Sunday and one of those tragic days in sports. So I'm glad we can have the escape of the games and the lighter side of life. But it is a loss for this young man, Jose Fernandez. And, you know, Bruce, it's interesting as I follow Twitter and all the tributes. It's just about every ballpark and just about everyone connected to baseball has been touched by this young man.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time before, of course, the season's about ending for the Marlins. But to tune into a Marlins game and you'll be thinking about Fernandez every time, next season as well. It's just it's such a terrible loss, and it's very, very hard to digest and come to grips with, and especially for the Marlins. Very, very difficult day.
Very much. All right, Bruce, thanks for being with us. We'll look forward to next weekend. It'll be Giants Dodgers, you and me, next weekend, so it'll be fun.
That sounds like the best. Thanks, Marty.
All right, Bruce, have a good Sunday. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.